Well, my dear friends, it's wonderful to as we gather together once again in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And as we do so, let us begin our worship service remembering this. This is the theme of the service. It's going to come up several times today. Jesus receives sinners. It's really good news that Jesus receives sinners because that pretty much defines all of us. But we're all welcome in this place because our Lord receives us. And he brings us into his family and brings us into his church this morning. And we want to remember the time that we were baptized and adopted into the kingdom of God, first and foremost in this service, setting the relationship correct between us and God. He is God. We are not. He's got all the wisdom. We desperately need his wisdom. He's got strength, and we definitely need his strength. He's got forgiveness, life, and salvation, and it's exactly the thing that we need most. And so as we begin our worship service, let us begin by remembering our baptism. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's stand as we pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you. We thank you, Lord, that you have made it possible for us to be here, Lord, that you have received us into your presence, and that you have given us faith, a relationship with you, and purpose, Lord, a reason to live and work to do while we are here on this planet, Lord. Lord, I pray that you would continue to be with us this morning especially. Open your word to us. Open our minds to your word so that we can understand and remember. And Lord, I pray that you would send your spirit to work in our hearts and minds so that we will remember the needful things at the times that you give us opportunity to speak for you in this world. Thank you, Lord, for all of this. We ask that you would bless us, Lord, as we spend time in your presence. In your holy name we pray. Amen. My friends, it is now time for us to confess our sin. And we confess our sin at this time because we have these things that are between us and God, these things that are weighing down our conscience and keeping us from being able to just openly spend time with this perfect God who loves us so much. And so let us clear the air and bring all of these sins to our God and once again receive that forgiveness. Let's confess. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess to you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you by thought, word, and deed. Because of this, we run for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking your grace. For the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. O most merciful God, who has given your only begotten Son to die for you, for mercy upon us, and for his sake forgive all our sins, and by your Holy Spirit increase in us true knowledge of you and of your will, and true obedience to your word, to the end that by your grace we may come to everlasting life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. My friends, it's another time when we have to go back to our theme for the day. Jesus receives sinners. Almighty God in his mercy has given his Son to die for you and for his sake forgives you all of your sin. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I forgive you all of your sin in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My friends, we have been forgiven. The forgiveness is great. The forgiveness is complete. Let's praise the Lord who has forgiven. Oh, praise him.
join to say, oh, praise Him, alleluia.
Welcome to St. Mark's. If you're a visitor here, and if you're a regular, welcome back this week. Hope you're having a good week, and your trust in Jesus is better than ever. Our first reading this morning is from the book of Timothy. It's on page 1689 in your pew Bible. Paul writes to Timothy, and we read, "I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength that he considered me trustworthy, appointing me to his service. Even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his immense patience as an example for those who would believe in him and receive eternal life. Now, to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord.
The sermon text for today is Luke chapter 15, verses 1 through 10. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. He calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep." I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over the 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Doesn't she light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin." In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. This is God's word for us today. And now it is time for the children's message. And the children's message is going to be taught by Denise Kasten. And kids, come on forward at this time. It is time for you.
Come on down. Can you hear me? Okay. All right, let's see some happy faces down here. Come on. Good job. Did you hear what Pastor Bob told us today, what Mr. Mike told us? Did you hear those words from God? They were so happy. Come on down. Want to sit right here? There you go. Hi. Good morning. Did you know that we are still on the camera and we're going out by the computer to see people who are at home? Everybody wave. Say hi. They're still out there. We're so glad they're there. I got to watch from my computer last week, and I was really thankful for that. So today, we got to hear in our first reading about a man named Paul, and he was very, very lost for a while because he didn't like Christians. In fact, he hurt Christians. But then guess what happened? He was found by Jesus. And when he was found, he was, and I'm going to show you this every time I say it, so happy. Can you say that with me? Paul was so happy. He was. So then what happened is because Paul was so happy and his life became so much better, he wrote this letter to Timothy, his young friend, and he said, "You know what? I'm going to go out and tell everybody about Jesus so I can help them, and you should do that too. And when they are found, they will be so happy," right? So he did that, and later on in the Bible, we hear Jesus tell us a story which is a parable. So it gives us an example of what it feels like when you and all those people and me and everyone is found by Jesus. Even if it's only one person, he's very glad that he finds them. So here's where the story started. There was this shepherd. He had a bunch of sheep, about 100. 99 were right there. One was lost. One sheep was gone. But when the shepherd found that one sheep, He was glad to have the other 99, but when he found the one, he was what? So happy, right? And then there was a lady, and she had some money, but she lost one coin, only one. So she looked and looked and looked, and when she found it, she was so happy, right? And then Jesus says, that's kind of like when one person is lost, only one person, and then they are found. So he cares about every single person, about you, me, every one of them, all the people you know, he cares about. And when Jesus finds those people, he is what? So happy. And the Bible even says that actually God is so happy that he rejoices. So that's even bigger than being happy, right? Think about what rejoicing is. We can imagine it might be trumpets, and the Bible says he rejoices with his angels. So it's like all of heaven, and only one person is found, and they all rejoice because they are so happy. That's right. So today you're going to see some kids come up with their families, and they are going to get a Bible. Why do we need that? If we want to go out because God wants us to tell other people about Jesus so they'll be found too, how do we do that? What do we have to know to tell people about Jesus? What do we have to know about?
You have to have a holy Bible that tells us all about it.
The Bible that tells us all about it. That's right. So today we're going to give some kids Bibles in church. This is a Bible I got when I was a little kid. Look at that. It has a zipper on it with a cross. That's about 50 years old. So that was a cool Bible. But they're going to get one today that's super cool. Look at that. And it's got all these great stories of Jesus. And there's pictures in there and stories. Maybe there's not pictures. I thought there were. Oh, yep, there's pictures. See? And so those kids are going to get this Bible because it's really important to know the stories. Do you know the stories? Do you know some of them? Yeah. Does your mom and dad and grandma and grandpa tell you stories about Jesus so you can share them with others? Yep, of course. So that's an important part of our service at the end of the day. And so if we are supposed to tell, we have to know all these stories. We want to go home and talk to mom and dad about reading the Bible, and then we can tell others so they will be so happy. You guys don't sound happy. Let's hear it. They will be so happy. Right. So let's pray about that, okay? Dear Jesus, we thank you for giving us your word. So we can tell the story to other people and make them so happy. And all God's children said, amen. All right, thanks. You can go back to your seat, or if mom and dad say it's okay, you can go to children's worship, little worship.
All right, everybody, four-year-old through fourth grade can meet at the cross in the center aisle with permission of the parents, and you guys, they'll be taken away and given and taught God's word just for them, the rest of us. So we're going to open up God's word here and now, and we're going to be talking mostly about the Luke 15 text that was read just a minute ago. You know, there's like a lot of those big projects we have in life. One I remember, one of my first really big projects was, I was a senior in college, and a friend of mine had a, what was that thing, a 1979 Chrysler, and it ran on about 3 out of 8 cylinders, which is less than 50%. That's not great. And so we decided we were going to fix it, and so a couple of kids with far more ambition than knowledge and a handful of tools started disassembling this engine. and we took it apart down to the last bolt. I mean, and we read and we figured out and we learned and we did all the things we needed to do. The guy at the parts store that actually rebuilt engines for a living was really, really helpful for us because he would actually share his knowledge with us. So thus with no knowledge, we're, you know, that's beneficial. We worked on that thing all summer, and both of us had jobs because we were college students, and you know college students, you need to work all summer to have enough money for the next year of college. It's just the way it is, and so we were working all week, and on the weekend, we would attack this Chrysler 318, and it was a lot of fun. It was great, and finally the day happened. Finally, the day happened when we had everything put back together again. We didn't have any spare pieces. That's a big deal. If you've ever taken something apart that far, not to have any pieces left, that's a big deal. We had everything back in there, roughly the way it should have been. And we started the engine. And that was amazing. To hear that engine run on all eight cylinders was absolutely amazing. Now, here's where the no knowledge came from. Immediately after pulling the car out of the garage, we broke the universal joints on the drive shaft because we were actually throwing power to it now. We broke the rear springs that were like hanging on by a thread, but now that we actually had an engine that worked, they fell apart. It was, you know, we learned. You know, if you put a new engine in a very old car, what you have is yet a very old car. That's what we learned. Anyway, but the thing is this, that feeling of success, that feeling of completion, that feeling of we finally made it. And there's so many of those experiences that happen through life. I mean, you graduate from high school, you graduate from college, you graduate from graduate school, if you're crazy. It just all of these levels of success, all of these things that we do to reach the next level in life, and that feeling of completion and success, it's amazing. And so I think that's a really important concept for today's text, because in today's text, we have Jesus. And Jesus is doing his ministry. And what you have to understand about Jesus' ministry is it didn't start at Christmas. You understand? The work of God started in the Garden of Eden. Right after Adam and Eve fell into sin, God came to the garden and he told Adam and Eve, this is what life is going to be like from now on because of your sin, because of the curse of sin, because of the, you know, there's going to be burdens and difficulties and all these things that are going to be placed upon you. But there is one who will come. Who is that one? Jesus. And for the next thousands of years, God worked out his plan of salvation. He set everything up. He delivered his revelation through prophets. He taught the children of Israel. He kept them pure, even though they tried so hard to wander away. He kept them pure. He kept calling them back and pulling them back. Sometimes it looks like he had to be so harsh to do it, but when you understand the stakes of what he was doing, he was saving the world through a nation that was wandering, and he had to keep them safe and keep them focused on him, keep them under his care, keep them preserving this word of God that would be passed on to the next generation and next generation and next generation, so that when Jesus arrived, people would understand who he was and what he was there for. And so we had Jesus, and you know the funny thing in this text, though, one of the craziest passages in this text is the Pharisees' accusation against Jesus. You know, it says that the Pharisees were muttering. They were just like muttering to each other, like complaining and grumbling. It's like a callback to what the children of Israel did when they ran out of food or water. You know what I mean? That they would, instead of praying to God and asking for what they need, they would grumble again amongst themselves. And Jesus did something that the Pharisees didn't like. What did he do? He received sinners. He received sinners. And the question is this, is why wouldn't Jesus receive sinners? Hasn't he been doing that all along? I mean, in the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve fell into sin, didn't Jesus receive the sinners and promise them salvation? And didn't he receive Abel's offering and receive Abel, even though he was a sinner? And Moses, or Noah, was Noah a perfect guy? No, but did God choose him out of everybody on earth to rescue and save from the worldwide flood? And Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, all of these guys were perfect, right? No, none of them were. I mean, you look at Abraham and the crazy things that he did, and then he did them again because he was just that weak. You know, he just, unbelievable stuff. He was a weak person that God chose, that God received, that God rescued and saved and made his own. And throughout history, God chose and accepted, received sinners. And when Jesus came, where was he found? He was found with the tax collectors and the sinners. He received them. And the Pharisees were annoyed because they didn't count themselves as sinners, which is a little delusional, but, you know, it's how people get sometimes. A lot of times in life when we want to think of ourselves as good people, and so we will reinterpret God's law so that we come out looking good. You know what I mean? God gave us 10 commandments, but, you know, two or three of them are kind of hard to do, so those aren't the important commandments. The other 7 are the really important ones, and if I can do at least a passing job of doing those commandments, I can be one of the good people, and then I can feel good about myself. It's not at all what God intends. This is not how God looks at things, but it's how we can sometimes change around the God's law, edit things so that we come out on top. It's kind of what the Pharisees did. They kind of edited God's law to the point where they would be able to feel good about themselves and act like they were not so sinful. Of course, these other people were terribly sinful, and Jesus shouldn't spend any time with them. But why did Jesus, what was Jesus doing all this time? Since the very beginning, he was receiving sinners. And so today, that day, he continued to do what he had always done. And isn't that kind of good news for us? I mean, truly? I mean, if Jesus didn't receive sinners, there would be no good news for us, right? And if Jesus didn't bring us in when we were weak and when we were spiritually dead, when there was no hope for us, there would be no hope for us. We would have no way of ever being acceptable to God, but that he received us while we were yet sinners, and we received the benefit of the death and resurrection of Jesus, and that we are worthy of heaven not because we are good, but because we have received his righteousness and we are found perfect in his sight because Jesus received sinners. And Jesus wants you to understand another thing in this text. This text is really kind of unusual because the next thing that Jesus says is, now let's get on the same wavelength, you know. If you had 100 sheep, right? And one wandered off, would you just not leave the 99 alone in open country with no protection and go find the one that was lost and search for it until you find it? To which the Pharisees would say, no, I wouldn't do that. I mean, let's put it in language that we understand today. How about this? If you had $100, right, and you went to the mall to buy something, and you realized all of a sudden that you had lost one of the $100, would you not leave the $99 on the counter at the mall and run out to the car and turn it upside down until you find that $1, and then they don't go back into the mall and finish buying it. You go out and you find your neighbors and you say, rejoice with me, I found my dollar. Is this not what you would do? Because this is exactly how different God is than we are. Because what God is saying in this is, he's not saying the 99 don't have value. That's not what we're supposed to get from this. What we're supposed to get from this is this. When Jesus did all of this work of rescuing sinners from death, rescuing his chosen people, he didn't do it as a group thing. He did it as he died on the cross for all of us individuals. Do you understand the difference? He died for everybody. But what he wasn't dying for a nameless, massless group of people with no names and no identity. He was dying for each individual person. And to understand the heart of God, that when one person is saved, in the middle of an immense number of people who already are, when one more person is saved, God rejoices in heaven in front of the angels. Think about that. How much effort did God put into your faith? I mean, you start all the way back in the Garden of Eden, right, and go through the whole Old Testament and Noah and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and the kings and the prophets and all the work that God did. But that's like for all of us. But I mean, just in your life, how many people did God put in your way? How many people did God make sure were saved so that you could be saved? How many people did God inspire or cajole into sharing the gospel with you? How many people encouraged you in your faith throughout your life? How much work has God put into you as an individual so that you can sit here today as one of his children? Just think about that. Is that insane? Now, here's the thing. That's not an accident. Jesus did this because he loves you, because you are that valuable to him, individually, specifically you. Yes, he did this for everybody, but he did this for you. And when you were saved, the God of all creation, the one who made all things, knows all things, can do all things, the one who is living in honor and glory before the angels of heaven, the one who is indescribably great, rejoiced over you. You understand the value that God puts on each person. And the thing is this, when we realize and when we receive that gift that God earned for us on the cross, when we understand the forgiveness that we have received, when we are recreated and when we are given new life, and when our minds are altered so that now, instead of wanting to please ourselves and wanting to live our own way and wanting to be our own gods, we live in submission to the God who created us. And we love him, and we want to do what makes him happy, because we love him so much, because he has done so much for me, for all people, but for me. And so the question is then, what do we do that can make God happy? There's a lot of things we can do that bring pleasure to God, but what is the thing in this text that God is driving into us and saying, here is what gives me great joy to celebrate before the angels of heaven? What do we do? We witness. Because as much as God loves me, he loves my neighbor, he loves my coworker, he loves my classmate, he loves the people that God has put in this world around me. And guys, if you think about it, just look at your life, walk through a day with the question in your head, how many of these people are not saved? And understand the value of those people, that everything Jesus did for me, Jesus did for them, but they aren't getting the benefit. They're not living redeemed. They're not saved. They don't have that faith. And God did something crazy. I mean, he basically gave the responsibility of sharing the message of salvation to us. And he said, I want you to be my witnesses and to go out into the world, and I want you to speak, I want you to teach, I want you to baptize. And the Holy Spirit works through the words that we say. God promises to give us words when the opportunity strikes. He promises to give us opportunities. He promises to work through us. He wants to use us to complete this work of salvation that Jesus has earned for us on the cross, to be able to bring it into the hearts of the people that he loves so much. And when one of them is saved, do we get credit for saving them? No, we're just messengers. We just share what Jesus has done. Then the Holy Spirit comes in and converts them and changes their hearts and brings them into a faith relationship. And then God rejoices because his work has come to completion in another person. But does God rejoice? Does this make our Father, does this make our Savior overjoyed that another person has been rescued from sin, death, and the devil? And so here's the thing. We have received this blessing from God. And in this blessing, when we were rescued, our God rejoiced. And now we, in response to that, in grateful devotion to the one who rescued us, we want to bring him glory, honor, and praise. We want to bring him joy by faithfully witnessing, carrying the message of the gospel out to the people around us, because it is through that gospel that the Spirit works. It is through that gospel that the Spirit brings faith. And our God will then again experience the joy of another person who is saved. Let us revel in the fact of God's love. Let us revel in the fact of the joy that our God has in us. And let us revel in the fact of the joy that God has when each one of our neighbors is rescued. Can we pray? Heavenly Father, we come before you and we thank you. Thank you that you have come into our lives and worked in incredible ways, doing things that shouldn't have been possible, turning us from people who lived for ourselves, who were selfish, who were not focused on you, you even talk about us as being enemies of you, Lord, but that you came to us, converted us, and made us into people who seek after you and love you. Lord, I pray that you would help us to faithfully revel in the joy that you have in us, revel in that grace, that love. And Lord, that we would remember that the thing that brings you more joy than anything else is another person being saved. Help us to faithfully witness. Thank you, Jesus. In your holy name we pray. Amen. All right. It's now time for us to receive the offering. The offering is a continuation of worship, a time that we give to the Lord a portion of what he has given us, trusting in him to be the one who provides and basically making it just trusting in him. Thank you.
kindness he lavished on us. His blood was the payment, his life was the cost. We stood near the dead we could never avoid. Our sins, they are many, his mercy is Lord. Praise the Lord, his mercy is Lord.
Please stand as we confess our faith using the words of the meaning of the first article of the Apostles' Creed. I believe that God has made me and all creatures, that he has given me my body and soul, eyes, ears, and all my members, my reason and all my senses, and still takes care of them. He also gives me clothing and shoes, food and drink, house and home, spouse and children, land, animals, and all I have. He richly and daily provides me with all that I need to support this body and life. He defends me against all danger and guards and protects me from all evil. All this he does out of fatherly divine goodness and mercy, without any merit or worthiness in me. For all this, it is my duty to thank and praise, serve and obey him. This is most certainly true. Please be seated. All right, at this time we are going to be presenting Bibles to the first through third graders of our congregation. And so if you got a first through third grader who's receiving a Bible today, and if you don't know anything about it, but you have a first through third grader that has not yet received a Bible, come up anyway. All right, and I'm going to ask the families to come up with them, or at least the parents to come up with them. And if there's grandparents around, anybody who's a spiritual support system for the child, come forward at the same time. And the reason we give these Bibles to kids is because we really believe in the importance of the Word of God to be in the hands of every single Christian, that they would be able to read for themselves the Word. If they go to St. Mark's School, they're going to use these Bibles in classes, in their religion classes, as they get to know God and his promises to us. And otherwise, it's a tool that the parents can use as they are educating the children in the faith. Critically important part of life, this phase of Christian development. When it doesn't happen, it makes life very difficult for me at confirmation when the children come to me and it's time to teach them about the doctrines of the church and they don't know who Moses is. That kind of makes it hard. So at this point, this is a really big day for these young people as they receive God's word for themselves. All right. And what happens here is this, is that... the parents have chosen a Bible verse that we are going to read as they receive their scripture, okay? So Josiah, your parents chose this verse for you. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 14. Be on your guard. Stand firm in the faith. Be courageous. Do everything in love. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for Josiah, Lord, and the faith you've given him, the parents you've given him that guard him and guide him in his faith. Lord, I pray that you would continue to be with this entire family, Lord, but especially with Josiah as he grows. Continue to send your spirit to work in him so that he may know you. Thank you, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. Emma, the verse that your parents picked for you is Psalm 119, verse 73. Your hands made me and formed me. Give me understanding to learn your commandments. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would continue to be with Emma as well. Help her, Lord, to grow and to learn. Help her to study your word. Help her to know you, Lord, and your promises for her life, so that she never needs to be afraid but can always depend on you, the God who loves her. In your name we pray. Amen. Ava, the verse your parents picked for you is 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12. Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, please continue to be with Ava. Help her, Lord, as she grows in her faith and learns about you, as she learns to love you and trust you more, Lord, every day. Lord, I pray that you would bless her and bless her parents, Lord, as they teach her. In your name we pray. Amen. Annabelle. There we go. The verse that your parents picked for you is Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you so much, Lord, for Annabelle, Lord, and everything that you made when you made her. We thank you for the faith that you have placed in her. We thank you that you have that you love her and that you are continuing to work out your will in her life. Lord, I pray that you would continue to bless her in every way. You are God. You know all things. You have power over all things. Give her everything she needs to serve you, Lord, with a glad heart. In your name we pray. Amen. Mackenzie, the verse we picked for you is 1 John 3, verse 1. Eyes. All right. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much that you have worked in Mackenzie's life and given her parents, Lord, who are guiding her in her faith and making sure that she is learning the things she needs to know so that she can know who you are and know your promises for her. Lord, I pray that you would continue to work in her. Help her, Lord, to understand, to know, so that she can trust in you, Lord, and also that she can bear witness for what you have done for her. Thank you, Lord, for all of this. In your name we pray. Amen. There you go. All right. My friends, I can't tell you how happy it is that to see families as they gather around their young ones and continue to pass the faith on. There is no substitute for the family teaching these children. I can't possibly make up for it if it's not happening in the home. And so I want to encourage you guys as you continue to do this, read these Bibles to your children. Help them to read them to you. Do whatever is necessary to instill in them the word of God that he has given to all of us. God's blessings, and you guys can return to your seats at this time. All right, let us pray together. Please stand as we pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, you have done such amazing things for us, all because of your love, all because of your adoration of each individual person that has been created. You suffered and you died. You worked for thousands of years setting together this plan of salvation. Lord, you have guided your church, Lord, for the past 2,000 years, helping us to be able to share this faith, to share this gospel, to tell people about what you have done. Lord, we know that you are the God that receives sinners. Lord, we give you glory for receiving us, and we ask that you would help us, Lord, as we continue to do the work of sharing your gospel so that others also can be received by you. Lord, I pray that you would continue to be with all the ministries of St. Mark's, Lord, as we work in our community, as we work among our members, as we do the ministry, Lord, that you have given us. I pray that you would help us, Lord, and encourage us, give us strength, Lord, help me, help the elders, help Lauren, help the people involved in all the ministries reaching out to children and youth, and especially the people in the school, Lord, the teachers, I pray that you'd be with the families, Lord, the parents who are in carrying out the important work, Lord, of raising their children in the faith. Lord, I pray that you would encourage all of us, Lord, to do the work that you have laid out for us to do, so that in the end, Lord, your work will be done. Lord, I pray that you would continue to be with all of us, Lord, as we go through the difficulties of life. We pray for those who are sick, that they would have the patience, Lord, to continue to do the things necessary so that they can work toward becoming healthy. We pray that you would give us patience, give us comfort, Lord, in the times when we are most concerned and when we are most worried, Lord. Let us be able to lean on you, the rock that cannot be moved. Lord, I pray that you would continue to bless every single child in our church as they grow in their faith and in their knowledge of you. All of these things we bring before you, Lord, because you are awesome and you have died for us and you listen to us. And we pray the prayer that you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, drink of it, all of you. This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me."
I will draw near to you. You are holy, holy, holy. The universe declares your majesty. You are holy, holy. God of wonders beyond our galaxy. You are holy, holy. You are the
My friends, once again, we've received God's forgiveness, this time through the body and blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's one of those things that, you know, we receive forgiveness over and over again during this service. And at this point, it's like we're at the end of the service, and I'm like, do you get it yet? You know, I mean, it's like, you know, we've been saying it over and over and over. And the reason that we do it is because it's how God does it. He tells us and tells us and tells us in different ways so that finally it'll sink in. We are forgiven. And because of his promise through this meal, we once again receive forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. Depart in his peace and in his joy. Amen. And receive the Lord's blessing. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of his Holy Spirit be with you always. Let's stand up as we sing one final song of praise to our God this morning.
Come set your rule and reign in our hearts again. Increase in us, we pray. Unveil why we're made. Come set our hearts ablaze with hope, like wildfire in our very souls. Holy Spirit, come, invade us now. We are your church. We need your God in us. Yeah.
Please be seated. A few announcements as we go our ways. First of all, we need some pen pals for our third and fourth grade class. Looking for members of the congregation who would be committed to writing letters back and forth with some of our St. Mark students through the year. If you're interested in being a pen pal, contact Jackie Langley. Now, that might be hard for you to do, so just call the church office and we'll get you. We'll get the message back and forth, all right? But that'd be really helpful as we teach our children how to communicate well. Also, we have a new member class happening in the prayer chapel today. There is room left in the Love and Logic class for parents of younger children, which is going to be in room 105. So if you have younger children, that'd be a good opportunity. Preschool and elementary students are going to be starting the Simply Loved Sunday School program. And so you can either check your children in the lobby right after the service, or if you want, you can walk your kids all the way down to the gym and check them in there. And with that, I have somebody else who needs to talk today. Let's see here. Where's Andrew? Are you ready for this?
Yes, sir.
Excellent. Come on down. This is Andrew Teuscher, and I'll let him tell you why he's here.
Good morning. Like Bob said, I'm Andrew Teuscher. We're starting a new youth group, kind of, in a way. Adding on to our youth group, we'll say. 6th through 8th grade, middle school kind of always gets forgotten in the fold. And as a middle school teacher, I noticed that a lot. So I talked to Bob and Laura, and I said we should add something to this. So I will be helping with the middle school Sunday school for the time being in this fall. I'm helping Bob out with confirmation every single week, and we're hoping that we can build this thing up, make a whole-on middle school youth group to lead into our high school, and in the spring, start off a 6th, 7th, and 8th grade youth group meeting weekly, just like confirmation is right now. So that's just kind of the fun plans that we're starting to get together. So if you know any middle schoolers, get them to church on Sundays. Have them meet me in the Sunday school conference, or Sunday school room, which will be the conference room, and then starting in the spring, this new youth group. But I think that's all I got.
I love it when God raises up our somebody who's been in our church forever, been through our youth ministry, and now he's a middle school teacher, and God's put it on his heart to do this. So thanks to Andrew, and thank God for bringing him. And then with that, Matt, if you'd come forward at this time. Matt Leiberger is going to be doing an adult Bible study, and he's going to introduce it. You can do it with one arm, right? It's not a problem.
I do everything with one arm.
You can, exactly. It's multitask. Yeah. Here you go.
Hey, we just made a confession that it's our duty to obey. Now, in Hebrew, that word to obey is shema. It also means to hear. In the Hebrew mindset, if we've heard something and we haven't put it into action, then we didn't really hear it. And so we're going to look at Genesis 1 through 12, and my thesis is going to be, in order to hear God's voice well, we want to enter into the world of the original audience who first received that text. So we're going to go into the world of the ancient Near East. We'll look at some of the geography, the geopolitical scene, the Hebrew language, some other things, and listen really well, not with our 21st century Western ears, but somebody who had been rescued out of Egypt, and what they would have heard, as I'm going to argue, was written and delivered to them by Moses. So I would love for you to join us. We're going to take our time. It'll be interactive. If you ever read the Choose Your Own Adventure books, it'll be a little bit like that. So I'll let you drive it a little bit with your questions of, what kind of days were those anyway? What's Genesis 1 and 2? Are those two different accounts? And what's that about? The angels and the women in Genesis 6. So we'll get to all that kind of stuff or whatever you want to talk about. It'll be fun. There's something for the kids to do. It's a jury day, so try it out for once. Grab a coffee just here in a few minutes, and we'll enjoy our time together in God's Word.
Outstanding. Thank you. And with that, then, if anybody desires individual prayer after the service, of course, we'll have an elder waiting in the prayer chapel for you. The rest of you, God's blessings on your week. Take God with you, and let's be witnesses. So that the Holy Spirit can continue to do his work, and God can continue to be joyful as more and more people are drawn to him. God's blessings on your week.